Now you can really see the build up to it. And so we've had years of movies with these inflatable tents, eh? And you'd never go into them because in the movies they always show you it's horrific, these guys in the suits and stuff, the hazmat suits, and they have special oxygen and so on, and they go, people there who shoot you if you try to run away, which is the NATO policy, by the way. I hope you understand that if you don't follow directions and so on. And how many movies you had too with cullings and the thinning and everything else that got churned out of there for over the years. Too many of you. And how are you going to bring in austerity? Well, where do you start rationing things? Why are we rationing things? Because there's nothing left in the stores. Why is that? Because we petrified the public into taking everything and panicking. Cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. It's just too obvious, isn't it? So, don't think you're going to come out with this. And I really believe this. They really don't want to. I've looked at some articles from some of the big shots, and they actually believe that they could continue this for a few years if they want to, step by step with austerity. Just like World War II, Britain in World War II, they were still issued ration cards up until 1952 or 53. Well, we understand what they can play with these sort of games. And now they're talking about the digital rationing card, etc. And even having special IDs for your cars. If you go to pick up groceries and things, they have that all set up already. And even in Walmart, I believe, that there's police out at the moment. Eventually, it'll come to the military. And they'll know how many times you visit that store in that week, things like that, you see. And it's true, some people are so panicked. If a man and woman and say one offspring and they've all got cars, they're all taking different stores every day, and then next day each one will change, so that there's the different identities, the son will go to a different store that day, and so they all swap around the stores so they can't be accused of, you know, and they're literally taking everything they get their hands. They must be borrowing money, thousands of bucks, to just keep buying, eh? It's just astonishing. And the thing is, what they don't know is this is all planned. Even your panic buying into mass collections of food. It comes with a lot of things, but the military eventually have to go door to door. That's what they do. If they're following, and they seem to be following the book, right? Step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah? Then they go around door to door to see who's been hoarding, and then they take it. By me saying that, you see, and they start looking for other places to hide it all, then they're all getting, they don't even know they're getting watched. You probably, you know, people who used to watch the old scientific rubbish on TV, well, scientists have put something in this little mouse's brain, or this rat's brain, and they've got wooden mazes and things, and they give them little names just for the camera because they're just numbers in reality for the scientists. This one here is going to get from here to here, and they've got a little maze to go through from here to here to here, and they've got four choices to make, and blah, blah, blah. And they have predictions after stimulating practice that which way it's going to go. Well, we have neuroscientists and behavioral scientists and behavioral insights teams. And we have all social media that's on board with this, that's officially pronounced back in November before it supposedly broke out at the meeting that they had there to plan the emergency, you see, on a tabletop, you know, scenario, as he called it, with the same characters who were to be in control. And they went through all and how the people would react and how they expect them to react and how they'll lie to them about this and lie to them about that and even prompt them this way to do that, knowing they'll do the opposite. You're getting used and abused and stimulated. You don't even know it. You see, you're following an agenda unwittingly that the master has laid out for you. And everyone's photo ID'd in the stores automatically. Your car is automatically photo ID'd on top by the cameras on top of the big lights in the parking lots at the supermarkets. And I'm not kidding you, you know. Yes, they do. It's cheap to do. It's not like they're having to put any money out on you. I know everybody's getting done. matched instantly. Dun 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 dun. Print up, you know. But can you blame the folks too, the ordinary folk? Because I say governments have laid out nothing, absolutely nothing, about how they're going to... They're ordering the folk to stay home in some places, right? And yet, they aren't telling them how we're going to get food to you or whatever. And you... Do you think that's just the mistake, or they just forgot or something? Everything that happens is very, very deliberate. And professional teams of manipulators, expert manipulators, are working on you, all of you, all the time. And the first thing is to give up all your rights. Okay, okay. 9/11 part two. Right? You've got little goons. Goons telling you what to do and how to behave and what you must do next. They're called politicians and mayors and things like that. Just amazing. As they come to the fore, you know, with their amazing, amazing and astonishing and astounding declarations of what they're going to do and how you better obey it, you know. If the countries are collapsed, isn't it wonderful of the big unification? As soon as this was announced, this was coming, people who were in the World Health Organization, as an example, in the backgrounds of it, but still occasionally public, were rubbing their hands in glee about, oh, this could bring this really force world government to come into being. You know? Generally, they call it world governance, but world government, you see, centralized authority on everything, food distribution, water distribution, energy distribution. The technocrats are loving that because they're in the energy, you see. And a new way of living, right down to, do you realise, just like they said at the last climate meeting, how much one person who gets born, and one child, how much they're going to consume in their life and how much carbon is going to get produced? You know? Oh, it's like a big debt to society before you even start. Well, wait a minute here. Who are these people who are calling you a consumer of goods and a producer of the carbon, eh? Compared to themselves. Always keep things grounded, right? They have no more right to tell you how you live, right? As you have about them. But you have the right to tell them to get off your back. It's been utter hypocrites, because it seems to me they're alive at the same time, probably eating a lot more than you are, and consuming a lot more than you are, and a lot more goods and electricity and goodness knows what else. When you start getting subservient, oh, yes, they're right. We mean them. They're not, are they royalty or something? And if they were, so what? That's, you've been trained at the next step. And yes, out of this will come. I think austerity really, really gone. This is another massive incentive not to have any children, eh? Especially for you lot. For the nations, the countries have still intact families, and you know who they are. Man, woman, and children. And from those families who invest heavily in their offspring, which they do, they're going to be successful. The Western societies have had about a 70-year war upon their brains and their culture, deliberately planned and executed right up to the present state until they, I'm sorry to say, they're finished. Pretty well finished for most folk. And the Western societies too had this strange idea of freedom, because it came from societies which are feudal, you see. Really, really, really feudal until not that long ago, in actuality. And they would... You were trained, you're a massive working class. That's what it depended upon for feudal systems, for serfs that were slaves, basically. You were bought and sold with land, and you know, that was freedom back then. And you pretty well owned nothing, because everything was owned by the lords and manors and all that. And the reality was that... the stock that came out of that never really got away from it, because, for instance, Europe, and especially Britain, went into basically an industrial age, forced the peasants off the land by different means, into their big red brick cities at the time, where they overcrowd them in these awful crammed and little houses, where they died terribly with diseases of all kinds, no hygiene, often no running water or even septic systems and so on. So is it the masters that owned the factories, chains of the factories? Nothing really changes, isn't it? Could get incredible profits with slavery and no rights for the people, of course. Now China's doing the same thing, but Britain's was different in that it took almost revolutions inside the country to get any rights at all. It took a long, long, long time to get any rights at all, but the people were still kept. They were still kept in the working class mentality. And in working class schools, they never heard about getting their own business started. Never dawned on them, in fact. It didn't dawn on their parents to get their business started and how to do it. They felt inferior. They were trained to feel inferior. And that's the truth of it. They never really broke out of it. Even when the factories were taken away from them too by the free trade deals made by the Royal Institute for International Affairs. That's who drafted them up, folks. Folk, you don't even vote for draft up all the big things that you have to obey. But they were kept in their working class mentality. And they didn't invest this high intensive investment in their offspring. Because the parents themselves had lived, that's how they were. They pretty well just survived or died. Simple. As simple as that. And the universities, even when eventually it got to subsidized university entrance and all the rest of it, and for a lot of people, they still couldn't afford to leave and get put up or have rent somewhere else and buy their books and all the rest of it. So it was still a disincentive. If you didn't have the cash, you just couldn't do it for most folk. That's how bad it really, really was. That's the truth of it. But if you look at China and India with massive, really intact families still, the high intensity and high intensive investment in their children, and then you can see the success right there. Look at the West right now. They're all off to the beaches during this so-called break, eh? Where they might come back with more diseases than COVID to pass around. And that's where we are. Our culture's been destroyed this way. I hope you understand that. Deliberately too, wasn't by accident. And here's the next phase of it as well. Here's the next phase of it. Where so many things can get fulfilled. Oh, they wouldn't listen to the climate change thing. They wouldn't they wouldn't go into austerity voluntarily. So we make it happen. How do we do that? Well, we terrify them to clear out all the stores, you know. And it works awfully. It doesn't matter what culture you look at. You terrify them, they'll do the same things. And they're prompted to do the same things. If the governments say, right off the bat, don't worry, we'll make sure that we get food to the peoples and the rural areas too, right? That they haven't even mentioned. Just go home and quarantine and stay there in the rural areas. Some of the rural areas would have to leave home at 6 in the morning to get, or 5:30 into the cities to get the food. And by that time it's already, they're already getting stampeded underfoot. So this is deliberate, as I say, to bring in other big programs. And the socialists are rubbing their hands in glee. And I've never met so many millionaire socialists in my life. They're all so happy and wealthy and all that. As they keep fawning over helping the people. And they certainly do help themselves to the things that the people from taxes, etc., and give themselves very good pay raises, and always celebrate themselves. Getting back to Ontario as an example, healthcare. I can remember quite a few years back reading an article and from the Canadian papers where Ontario, and the same Ontario that's decided not to treat certain folk over a certain age or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Bioethics, you see, is cost effectiveness. Stop thinking about people as like real valuable creatures and see it with practicality. You know, just give treatment to those people we think could survive or if maybe more, they're more essential to the community. Or the UN definition of a good citizen, a good producer and consumer, and pensioners are just consumers, you see. Click, click, click in the brain, eh? I can remember Ontario put $40 million a year to tell the people how great the system, the healthcare system was. Why didn't they put that $40 million into the healthcare system? The system we're living in is an alien system to what you're brainwashed to believe it is. It really is. So, a lot of things will happen with this supposed pandemic. As I say, we can't get any real data on facts. And we're saying, well, what's causing the big problem in Italy, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think it's just a massive retirement home or something? Is that what they're... No, they're not saying that at all. But they do have a lot of Chinese people there too that are into that whole area where it's happening for the big factories and the cheap labour. For huge leather factories and so on. We won't get any real information, you understand, because this is meant to terrify everybody, including those who are less likely to get it. And why would you offer cheap flights now that the students are off and the airlines are hurting? Cheap flights to all across the world, very cheap for the students. First time offer, eh? Even though they'll say, if you come back, you know, there's a good chance that China said this, that there's the younger people who were spreading it all through society and not feeling the symptoms. They were the cause of most spread. And your governments then help subsidise airlines to make students, rather than have them poor souls get bored, go across the planet for the party and have fun and all that, and then come back during a supposed worldwide pandemic. But no, Conan Doyle said this in his novels with Sherlock Holmes. I'm paraphrasing, but when you've examined all the clues and all the causes and all the people involved and so on, when you've examined them all and it doesn't fit the bill of why this has happened, then and you look at all the possible, then and toss them all out, then only that which is inside the impossible must be true. And yes, this is all deliberate. There's no doubt about it. And too many folk have too much to gain on a massive world social agenda, really. And they're not shy in telling you if you really know where to look. Anyway, here's a few articles I'll just get off. And just to show you. This is from MIT. To stop coronavirus, we need to radically change almost everything we do. Doesn't that just ring a bell at what I've been talking about? How we work, exercise, socialise, shop, manage our health, educate our children. I hate the word kids. Kid is a small goat, remember. Take care of family members, which if you say it's a goat, then you're dehumanising them. We all want things to go back to normal quickly. What was normal for most folk? But what most of us have, probably not really, we soon will realise is that things won't go back to normal after a few weeks or even a few months. Some things never will. And they give you all their coverage of the coronavirus 19 or COVID-19 for free, etc., and give you. But they say it's now widely agreed, even by Britain, finally, that every country needs to flatten the curve, impose social distancing to slow the spread of the virus so that the numbers of people sick at once doesn't cause the healthcare system to collapse, as it is threatened to do in Italy right now. That means the pandemic needs to last at a low level until either enough people have had COVID-19 to leave most immune. They're telling me, have you noticed that they can't explain it? People can't get meanings across these days. I've really noticed an awful lot of that. So that enough people, right, to leave most immune. So, and is that I'm trying to tell you that most folk have to get it? Is that what he's trying to say? You have to think for them, you know? It says, assuming immunity lasts for years, well, which we don't know. So why assume it in the first place if you don't know? If it's a brand new thing, it's not behaving like other ones. Or there's a vaccine, you see. Then they're going to be limiting meetings to 10 people and blah, 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 blah. All that kind of stuff. But the message really is it's never going to be the same. Well, the banks are collapsing. And the collapse 2007 and 2008, not because it had to happen, it's because it was a political decision at the top to make it happen. And I know people... in Switzerland who work in the banking industry, and I asked one of them how they happen, these bank collapses, and just to get their take on it. And it's, that's what was said. You know, he talked to the top head of one of the top banks in Switzerland, very high bank, and who said to him, it's a political decision, always done for other reasons, but not because they have to do it. You understand, if that's backed by anything, you can play the game forever and ever and ever. That's what Greenspan said. He said, we can never really collapse. He says, we can just keep printing money up. They don't even print it now. They just punch in digits into computers. And special people that literally, they're magicians, have the authority to just punch them in. And, okay, yeah. And there's nothing real about anything, except the effects that you're all getting screwed. So anyway, that's that one there. And the coronavirus pandemic, the real danger is Agenda ID 2020. That is the name of it. And that's a Global Research did articles on it. And anyway, and yes, even with different sites that you might not even agree with or whatever, it's occasionally good to look at all information regardless, check it out and see if it's true or whatever, because a lot of people are looking at things that you're not looking at. It seems the more there is written about the causes of the coronavirus, the more the written analysis are overshadowed by a propaganda and fear-mongering pipe. Questions for the truth and arguments for where to look for the origins and how the virus may have spread and how to combat it are lost in the noise of wanton chaos. But isn't that what the black men behind this intended pandemic want? Chaos, panic, hopelessness, leading to human vulnerability, people becoming easy prey for manipulation. Well, that's what terror is for, you see. So, but there's such a program, as I say, Agenda ID 2020. And you'll see the usual characters involved in their agenda. Real ID for everybody, they call it, you know. And you'll have your number. And some of them already, it's already up and running for people who want it, who join it. So there you go. And that'll be used for everything. Just like the old science fictions had you down with barcodes and stuff or chips. So here it comes, it's all there. So it's not a surprise. A lot of folk will run for it, actually. A lot of youngsters will run for it, thinking it's cool. You know, oh, I got my... I remember doing an article when the chip was put under the skin, and maybe 10 years ago or more, as a test run for a big company that had nightclubs and things and dance clubs. And you could go in there and get the little chip under your arm, in the forearm, and it would be charged like a credit card. You could charge it just with a scanner over the top of it, with so many credits for the bar, and you went up there to get something, you just swiped your arm, and you'd show off to your girlfriend, you know, and until a month later, you know, the thing's getting, you swipe the thing, and there's a big boil over it, doesn't look that appealing anymore to the girlfriend, but never mind about the realities, but anyway, that's how they're going to go with all this stuff. And people, anything that's cool, you always get a certain segment of society that goes ahead first, you say, to be cool, to be noticed. Until everybody's the same as them, then they're just one in the crew. It's like the tattoos. The whole fad was pushed. I remember doing a program years ago about who was pushing it, and the TV shows are pushing blah blah blah, and then they all start getting these tattoos, you see. And it came from being on their derrières, apparently, for the women, to copy them in their arms, and then eventually they get them on their faces. And the avant-garde always, I'm more cool, I've got more tattoo. Until everybody's got them, then they're just one in the crowd then, you see. And then you have virus-stricken Iran comes in the form of more sanctions. That's the US help to Iran, is more sanctions as they're down, yada, yada, yada. Terrible. It's really horrific. You know what I saw too? I'm sure you saw it in the newspapers, that the people who really are trying to help the people in that off that poor area of Italy that's been heavily, heavily hit. The big Chinese jets were coming in with full medical teams, nursing teams, who've already been working with their own pandemics, and with massive crates of medical supplies and medications and all the stuff that you need, and gowns and masks and everything and gloves and to help the, but that is something, because who else, what Western countries are going to this land to help each other, even their own people? Think about that, folks. What is that? What a statement to me. Of course, China's making hay out of it with their post photographs and stuff, but that's what all countries would do. But there they are. Someone's got, I feel so sorry for Italy, because, and again, it tells you how the Western societies have been, they've had a war on them, even before World War II started. It was a massive war on the culture and the people, planned, directed and managed and financed. Didn't happen by itself. And I read about two other doctors that had come out. See, who's rushing in to help the Italians in their own countries and around the surrounding areas? Doctors who are in their 70s and 80s who are retired have come in to help, because the young folk are staying away. What you read right now is so important to understand what's happening and hence what has happened to values of all kinds. And a lot of nursing staff too are just keeping away, to go off sick because they're terrified. Just terrified. But here's people who literally, they know they'll probably die, and they've already got doctors. There were some articles there the other day who did come back to help, and they're dead with the virus, supposedly. So we're told, the virus. That's a sad, sad comment right there. And yet Chinese are coming in with teams. What does that say about the West? The West is still squabbling, especially the States and Canada, over what foreign company is going to get all the contracts for either antiviral drugs and any kind of subsequent vaccinations that come along the pike or whatever, as opposed to just helping the people with what's available right now and taking the viral antivirals from wherever they can get it, etc. Even supply face masks and so on. You would ask China or somebody else to make them for you. How come? Are we just too stupid? We can't make anything anymore? No, the agenda is that you're not going to make anything anymore, except debt, of course. That's your free trade agreements. Anyway, Fed relaunches crisis-era lending program to aid companies facing pandemic credit crunch, it says here. You can believe that as much as you want, because there's always incredible conditions. Not everybody gets help at all. Big one for Canada, too, in the States. But Canada, big banks are working together to limit hours, and they're closing down a lot of their branches, so it's going to be harder to get bank and help. It's amazing, too, that to make things harder and harder and harder to keep any kind of, not just your economy going, but your personal survival going. I think that's accidental. So you have a Canadian Bankers Association. By the way, Canada is still paying off the money they borrowed from the US Federal Reserve, because Canadian banks were bailed out with 2007 and 8. And they were given special drawing rights, like they did all the banks in America got from the Federal Reserve. Well, Canada was lumped in there too, all the big banks. And we still haven't paid it off. And then they get hit with this. Of course, there's going to, now, whether to take the bail-ins now, I don't know. Or as opposed to the bailouts. Because we all signed on to them, didn't we? And folk wouldn't believe it at the time. So the excuse given is to limit public health officials are urging to limit contact with others in an effort to limit the threat of the novel coronavirus. I remember too reading just a few days ago from a health site from the government here in Ontario, and from the north for Sudbury, they said that oh, be afraid, and this woman who's in charge, said, I'm not going to beat around the bush, she said, I'm going to be, you try to get you really, on board with the whole thing. This is going to be really, really bad, blah, blah, blah. You got to do this, you got to do that, etc., etc. And all the hype is going on. And then she said, at present, right, after telling you all to try and stay at home and all the rest of it, and the businesses are all shut down, restaurants are all closed. At present, there's no community spread in Sudbury. There's no community spread. Well, if there's any spread, it must be from folk still coming in from outside, way outside. See how they rephrase things rather than say we're still bringing people in from all over. And folk get connecting flights from Toronto from here, but they're coming from all over the infected areas too. First law, you stop all that. You protect the healthy population. That's the first law. Hasn't been done at all. Including the fact that Justin Trudeau said it was racist to stop people coming in. Well, you can believe that if you want. And you can believe that he really means that for the reasons you think he does. No, no. There's something else afoot here, obviously. It's meant to happen. And the same woman who wrote the article for the government, who's in charge of it, supposedly Frontier, she says, after telling you there's no community spread in Sudbury, as we're all supposed to stay home, blah, 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 blah. She says that it will spike, you know, maybe next week or whatever. But they just know if no community spread is suddenly going to go, woof. Now, that can only happen in two ways. Either a lot of folk are going to get dumped in your midst with it, which they know they're going to dump, and they know that they've got it. Or something's going to get released. What else could it be? These are the people who couldn't tell you a good bet on a racetrack, you know. But they can just know that when there's no communities, but they just know, they all seem to just know that there's going to be a massive spike in about a week to a week and a half. It's just, you know, no community spread, but it's going to be here. Well, what do they know that we don't know? Well, that's the two things. Either a lot's going to get dumped right here with of infected people, obviously, that's what it would take, or else it would be released. What else are you going to do? To know that, to just know that, when you've gotten literally a martial law type scenarios and shut everything down, including nothing in the stores, and you're sitting waiting for what? Are you waiting for people to just get... And people are losing it. A lot of folk just can't take this kind of stress. And they crack up. That is happening. And this incessant drumbeat from the media. Oh, no, no, you know. All intentional, folks. And it's so easy for government, especially in socialised countries, to say, they're there now, don't worry, we've got this plan here, and there'll be representatives who set up stalls or whatever, or food, blah, 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 once a week or whatever in that town, blah, blah, blah. And don't worry, you won't be left without. So easy to do, but no. The message is be petrified, go home, quarantine, and no mention about following up for food, paying electricity or anything else. Or how do you even play? This is Article 2, is Jackson Dockert. His name was Dockert. That's how you pronounce it in Britain, I think. Jackson Dockert on COVID-19. Canada's experiment in good faith may lead to catastrophe. Because that's a good faith, you know, people will just be sensible. If we're going to use the honour system to prevent Canada from meeting the same fate as Europe, everyone needs to take their community obligations seriously. That's a bit, they're not cancelling big meetings and things, but I think folk would take it seriously and be much more obedient if they knew that we weren't all going to get left without things to eat, as an example. Just basic stuff like that, you know, might be important. This is how great our health system is here, that this spends $40 million a year and telling you how good it is. This is just Ontario, right? Canadian, it's a really nice looking young girl too, young woman. Canadian has brain of a 70-year-old after flawed tests let disease go undiagnosed for years. That gives you confidence about going to hospital here. The same hospital that discharged me before a week was out when I was told I'm going to end and I'll be here for an awful long time. They expect me not to get out at all. And I was discharged without the medications to save my life, but to get myself, which I did. So it said, a young Canadian woman has been left with the brain of a 70-year-old after suffering from Lyme disease for more than 7 years without treatment because she says tests failed to give her a proper diagnosis. Right? So she's from St. Catharines, Ontario, was bitten by a tick in 2013 at the age of 17, but didn't think much of it at the time. Then she noticed the tick on her leg as she sat by the pool, but simply plucked it off and moved on. Not even sure if I told parents what was happening, so on. Now she's 24 years old. She said, Didn't think it was a big deal, and about a week later he just started to feel ill. The normally energetic cheerleader and soccer player began to feel weak, but chalked it up to was having the flu. Falling apart, she said. Doctors continued prescribing her different antibiotics, but nothing seemed to help. No idea what was going on. I thought maybe it was my head. I was getting pretty upset, and so on. 3 years later, after doing some research of her own, she thought she'd get some answers when she was tested for Lyme disease in St. Catharines in Ontario, but was disappointed when the results came back negative. She wasn't aware at the time that a US $1,100 test from the United States would give her a more accurate result and tell her that she didn't have the disease. The tests that you hear are rubbish, absolute rubbish. It would be another 3 years before Kent was finally diagnosed through testing conducted outside Canada. 5 years, another 3 years, it says here. It's similar to thousands of Canadians who were misdiagnosed or have gone undiagnosed for Lyme disease. And their nervous systems start breaking down too with it. Despite constantly feeling ill, moved to London, England in 2014 to go into media and fashion. About a year in London, she went backpacking to several countries, said she would often see doctors along the way. And then she went back to Ontario in 2016, saw numerous doctors. None of them, she said, mentioned the possibility that she contracted Lyme disease. So that she started to you get brain fog with it. You really start, it's like a pre-senile case when it starts taking off, hitting your nervous system. Struggling putting sentences together, couldn't read a book, etc. The family and everybody else noticed she was mumbling. She couldn't really pronounce things. Losing memory. Developed insomnia, experienced heart palpitations, and began feeling too altogether. Anyway, she started to do her own research in between doctors, and then she came to the conclusion she could have Lyme disease. And eventually she sent tests off to the States, came back positive again. And they're way more detailed, intricate, and better tests in the US than what they have in Canada. They see if they did it properly, they'd have to treat you. It costs money. I'm not kidding you. This is in the article too. That's really what happens. Everything. I'm not kidding. This is the real system here. It's pretty scary, in fact. It's nothing to do with the doctor, the nurses especially, that are treating you. But they do their best. But the fact is, the policies of these hospitals are disgusting. And we'll have a little bit from Sir Humphrey Appleby. Says he's the Machiavellian senior civil service in the hit 1980s British sitcom called Yes Minister, about high level bureaucrats, really. He once famously commented that one should never believe anything until it's been officially denied by the government. And that's where we are today. They officially deny everything until and they tell you you'll be terrified when they admit to it. It's all done by design. Now, here too. Another great one in Ontario, just to give you confidence about the hospital. COVID-19 patient in Ontario has died, health minister says. And this is Christine Elliott, addressed the fatal Muskoka, that's the area in south of me, Muskoka region, adding that it's unclear at this time where the novel coronavirus is in fact the cause of death. So here's your confusing, right? The headline says COVID-19 patient in Ontario has died, health minister says, and then it's unclear at this time where the novel coronavirus is in fact the cause of death, right? There's been a death. Okay, there's a big statement. That's where you get specialists. They're not even, they're really disappointed as ministers, like politicians. I'm very sorry and extend my condolences to this person's family, she said. We've asked for the assistance of the coroner's office to do a complete examination and investigation to determine where this person died because of COVID or with COVID, she says. Says the man, the spokesperson for Elliot, a man who was never listed as a confirmed case before he died. you love how precise things are here. Rather, he was under investigation for virus COVID-19. But that was discovered after his death. It's more and more confusing the more you read. I think folk don't know how he's put things across now. And The 77-year-old man could be the first COVID-19-related death in the province. Could be, if they could find out if he had it before he died or no. And it really gives you confidence where they can't tell you that. They can't decide that, eh, for a newspaper article. Breaking news, eh? That's CTV news. It's not a little Mickey Mouse operation. And I've noticed that with so many articles now, you can't make head nor tails of them because of the way things are written. So a patient in Ontario has died, health minister says. Okay, COVID-19 patient. Unclear if he died of disease or if that was a cause of death. Well, why don't you just wait and see and then do the proper stuff and find out and before you do that kind of thing. So anyway, here's another article to a visual guide on coronavirus infection symptoms of COVID-19 and effects of the virus inside the body, it says. And even these are also massively varied too, by the way. As I say, they could encompass a whole bunch of other diseases and flus. The other day, of course, every paper went on board with it immediately. Diarrhea and loss of appetite could be early symptoms of coronavirus, as scientists find almost half of patients experience one or more digestive symptoms. And you find, too, how many folk had digestive symptoms before they got the virus as a problem, like a habitual problem. Who knows? I mean, they don't tell you that. So the study of 204 Wuhan residents revealed 48.5% had digestive symptoms. Rather than say digestive abnormality symptoms or whatever. We all have digestive symptoms, you know, or otherwise it would be dead. And there'd be no digestion going on. It says, must also have normal respiratory issues, but 7 people did not, right? So some of them have the respiratory symptoms, but 7 didn't. Those with digestive symptoms are less likely to be successfully treated and discharged compared to those with just respiratory symptoms. And again, why would that be? Why would your digestive symptoms be more likely to cause you to die? Well, maybe they cleaned out the stores and there's no food. I mean, we're left wondering here. That's Mail Online, it says here. But diarrhea, vomiting, and loss of appetite could be a symptom of coronavirus. It could also be a symptom of a whole bunch of other ones, you know. You get that too with that Norwalk virus that goes around every year and other flus and things. There you are. And in a Europe closed down by the virus, the EU opens its doors to the US Army. That's a quite interesting article. Could defender become the invader of Europe? Who knows? I know that the military, the US has been stepping up the military before this, or to surround Russia again, of course. And as the wars, you know, as the big corporations that run the countries, you know, the military-industrial complex, they really missed the Cold War, so they had to remake it again. I gave a talk in the 90s that would happen. That's exactly what would happen, in fact, the late 90s. This is, you know, if they want to, an enemy to get missiles, race for missiles and expensive jets and all that going again, then they'll have to resuscitate and revive the bad bear, the Russia bear, the bad bear Russia. And that's eventually what they did, of course. Another article here about extraordinary decisions facing Italian doctors. And that was about how they're overwhelmed. And again, they put it down to bioethics. Once it comes down to, and a situation ethics too, you know, oh, well, we've got so many things left to treat people with. Who will we treat? You know, And that's where it is, eh? And a lot of folk, young folk, are going along with this thing. Oh, it's okay, kill old folk off. And they've got their memes on the internet about it too. But they have to remember that every big revolution doesn't stop with the initial target. Eventually, they take in different sections above and below them, step by step by step. Another thing I found too is in China studies, they found that people with type A blood, again, were less likely, had more chance of getting to be more severe or dying with it. There's interesting little bits of if they're confirmed again with more testing in other countries. It'd be interesting to see. And you can also get a breakdown in the countries that obviously have a higher percentage of type A blood people. And you get ideas of things, of how things will work out perhaps. But there's many other factors involved too. So if you've got type A with heartburn, you better get some, you know, antacids very quickly. I think maybe who knows, because you'll probably find other things that'll come out next week with different kinds of blood types being the more predominant to have bad effects from it all. Who knows? Everybody gets in the act when it's every specialist out there gets a name out there. It's probably the only time in history they'll ever hear to get their name printed anywhere. I said the distrust in public authorities, that was Paul Craig Roberts. He's got an article, Have We Brewed the Whirlwind, he says. The destruction of the system in the West, can we even manage it? Pretty well. Signs and symptoms again, hey? And this is from CTV News again, given to them by, I guess, some other specialist. It says here that the top signs and symptoms, right? Here you go. This is why you pay specialists. You might have a fever. These are what you might have, right? Remember, even when you get trained in medicine, they give you a whole host of signs and symptoms. And a lot of them forget that, doctors too. But it used to be stressed that the signs and symptoms, you won't get them all at the same time. It'd be very unique to have a patient with all the signs and symptoms for that disease. And what you're getting today too, you're getting, most folk today are being told, in the West especially, being told, oh, if you got a little fever, a little cough, self-isolate for so many days, you see, at home. And then it breaks out in the paper, they end up having to get taken into emergency eventually, or intensive care because they're dying at home. It doesn't inspire confidence to me. So fever, cough, and then difficulty breathing, right? Pneumonia. The pneumonia is really an effect that happens of it. It just means your lungs are filling up with basically blood, in a sense, if it's viral pneumonia. And it's your immune response to this disease that can kill you. It can make you very ill, or if not kill you, in fact. And that's why the antivirals can then try fool the body that the thing isn't as bad or isn't even present in the body. That's what you're trying to tell, you know, all the different response mechanisms in your body, just ignore it, and so you can breathe, etc. And if that doesn't happen, your lungs are overwhelmed with massive blood running in with all the different cells and so on, that there are killer cells and phagocytes and leukocytes, etc., all the different sites, eh? And it's not a tourist guide, all these sites, it's just things your body happens to send there. Anyway, here we go again. So pneumonia is a response to something, it's a condition, you might say. Bacterial pneumonia is a bit different with the dirty sputum and so on too, but similarly, you can get a breath eventually. That alveolar tissue are pretty thin walled tissues for oxygen to pass through and your CO2 to come out and all that, and before they give you your CO2 bill. And if they get damaged, which they do with this kind of thing, then you get fewer and fewer cells that are working for exchange, and that's what causes the problem. Sometimes you've seen them, in Italy, people are on their bellies with the tubes on their front of their faces, but they're on their bellies to try to help them breathe easier because the pressure's bad enough on the lungs. And often they feel a bit more ability to breathe better and expand the lungs to get the air in when they're lying on their chest to extend. Then the other symptoms you might have, right? And remember too, fever, cough, difficulty breathing, pneumonia can happen with other things as well. So tiredness is another symptom. But anything too that's like an infection wears you down, you get tired. Aches and pains, well, that could be anything, eh? Nasal congestion or runny nose, it could be a cold or just a cold day, or an allergy, a sore throat, or diarrhea. See, and then if it's getting worse, you see they have difficulty breathing or shortness of breath, persistent pain or pressure in the chest, which could be other things too, including a heart condition, new confusion or inability to arouse. And bluish lips or face, which obviously is not healthy. But so you got a whole bunch of things that could or couldn't be. But the only way they can really tell, as I say, is with a proper working, an accurate test, obviously, right? So like the previous flus, as I say, they often just lump them all down as a particular strain, and it's presumed. And you often find the games that governments play with the term presumed, and the presumption eventually vanishes as they want to show that, for one reason or another, that there's actually more of a particular thing which they want you to believe exists. And it's not necessarily the case if they hadn't had the test. We know that Italy surpassed China's death toll, despite having fewer confirmed cases. And there's another spike happening at it right now, apparently, in Italy. Pandemics do, they can come and go and rise and fall, is the idea too. Ontario declares a state of emergency amid the pandemic. CTV News again. It says this is a decision not made lightly, it says. And once again, you're left with, well, what do we do? Just go to your homes and sit there and stay there, is it? Or, what are you supposed to be? But they certainly, and they tell you what they're closed, which is pretty well everything, pretty well. But they don't tell you how life is still going to go on. It says, and like everywhere else, Ontario has set aside a $100 million contingency fund. And contingency for what, though? And is receiving $200 million from the federal government. Used to open 75 more critical care beds in hospital, as well as 500 post-acute care beds to help hospitals set up 25 more COVID-19 assessment centres. So this is going to cost $300 million for Ontario. $300 million, right? For 75 more critical care beds in hospitals and 500 post-acute care beds to help hospitals set up 25% more. I mean, really, they should have more post-acute care beds anyway in hospitals. So they're really making up for things they know they should have had before. You get post-acute and lots of things. But 75 critical care beds, eh? Mm-mm-mm. Money, you know, when government does anything, you probably see it when it comes holiday time for students. I can remember years ago reading articles where they would have amazing things like the Ontario government is giving maybe $16 or $17 million to set up like one of these quasi private window cleaning companies. Yeah? They would employ 11 students. For how many millions was this? What are they paying them? Well, of course, the money never gets to the bottom. I mean, the money goes, we're living in an awfully corrupt system, folks. We truly are, you know. And the last people who you want efficiency, you'll get from are bureaucrats and petty bureaucrats who run government political scenes as well. Other article, the Canada-US border is not securable and has never been, especially during a pandemic, because they're letting them cross back and forth. It's a political thing that's been going on for the last few years. With we used to call them illegal aliens that simply jump the queue and makes a farce of the folk who apply in their own countries legally and wait and see what happens. These ones are basically just come in and say, well, you're getting us whether you like it or not. And they just walk across from the States to Canada and back and forth all the time. The cops just stand by and watch them. What can you do? And it's from a place in Quebec, mainly. It's all been happening for years now. It's a complete farce, you know. And then you have a story for the States, really, and Canada, or anywhere. It pays to be rich during a pandemic. Now the wealthy, powerful and connected are exploiting the loopholes in our healthcare system. And yes, there's nothing new in any of that, of course. But they have no problem getting test kits for all the wealthy or celebrities. It's just instant, and even football teams, in fact, because you know they're worth a lot of money. But you just can't get the kits for the normal folk. And back in Pennsylvania, as I said, I talked to a person there, and it said about the numbers in different parts of this a few counties there, and they said that these were all, they had put them down as coronavirus, but this was like confirmed cases pretty well. That's how they're putting the articles across. But at the end of the article, it said, we shall know more when we get the first actual test kits on the 23rd. They haven't got the kits yet. How could they be getting confirmed? Understand all this nonsense going on right now. And again, why don't they give the completely published, up-to-date published versions of the regular average flu cases that they get in every year, what they are at the moment? Because I say there's at least two more different flus going around, different kinds of, which came out of China supposedly about the same time, just after Wuhan, just after the virus broke out. There were two more flus broke out to confuse things even more, and I'm sure it's all over here too. So, but if you put them all down without kits, then that's quite a potpourri, you might say, or a mosaic of guesses in a sense, isn't it? So obvious to me, obviously, it's a massive agenda, because there's so many ifs and iffy things involved here, and it's been planned from the very top, with all the NATO countries obviously involved, heavily involved in it, on board together with the exact same step by step. First, ignore it, and then have the press lambast anybody who mentions it from the supposed alternate sites. And then you come in, and then you give the permission for the press to go into overdrive and terrifying the public, which they do quite happily, much more than conspiracy sites did. And then you go on from there, step by step by step. That's how it's done. Let the prisoners out of prisons, which they're all doing, and even tell the same prisoners in the papers, on all the newspapers, that the police have been told not to arrest them if they get involved in certain areas of crime. So if you're a criminal and you get into the gangs again, once you're out there, you're not going to get arrested. They all know that, and it's going to be permanent Christmas time in the middle of summer when it comes along, because they've been told they're not going to get arrested. Well, when that all happens, then the troops will have to come out and deal with things too. You see, you kind of see where it's all planned to go, don't you? Don't you think so? Who knows? Maybe prison's going to be the only safe place to be eventually, because there'll be no prisoners there. But you might still get some three meals a day, because at the moment everybody's scratching their heads with bare shells everywhere, in Europe here and everywhere else. What on earth are you going to do, eh? Huh? What are you going to do? I can imagine you could do a really good dark comedy about this, in a sense. There's so many aspects of it, where you would have big, big, massive drones going over the cities, etc., after they petrify the public and terrify them and into bulk buying like never before of everything that they need and so on. And then they'll say, we must take in food. You've cleaned out the country. It's an emergency thing. We're taking the food off you. And they fly over you, and he's got massive electromagnets hanging. And you see billions of cans just go flying through rooftops, zapping up to this thing. Happy quite. You could do. Yeah, it's funny how your mind works sometimes, because I get little pictures like that with the kind of things that they're telling us. But yeah, it's so obvious that people have no confidence in governments in the West, because the governments have given us no reason to ever trust them, in effect. And things will get rather nasty. So don't lose your cool, folks, because folk are cracking up now. They really believe they're in a movie now. The movies never end up well, if you noticed all these movies. So folk are terrified, and it's working awfully well by those in charge of it. And everybody will do their parts. The police will do their part, and they will go overboard as the public get nastier towards them when they're denied entrance for the second time or tenth time that day into the same store for food. And that's happening already, in a sense. Things like that. And then they expect the police might start getting sick with it, and they want time off as well. And believe you me, there's a lot of folk come down not through from a virus in situations like that, but through terror. If you want to get all the signs and symptoms there of fatigue and lethargy and so on, and just get constant stress for a while, a terrible fear, and you'll start breaking down. You'll get the symptoms of it from the psychological effects of it. Terrible thing to have. And that'll go for police and everybody else as well. Because if they're married and they go home and their wives are there, maybe the police themselves are wives, and that they're terrified of even bringing it home if they've got children. So it's a domino effect. That's how things are designed to go. The military, just talk about it too, they'll come down with it. And I tell you, folk have no idea, the average people have no idea, none at all, of how to manage self-quarantine and basically barrier techniques to ensure they don't get it. It's a very intensive way to what you clean, and even if you have gloves and you take this off and take that off, you do your shoes, you do everything. Where your shoes have walked, keep them outside your house, blah, 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 and then sterilise the shoes and boots over it. You've got to, if you have two people, and one's at what you call the dirty one, and their one's a clean one, when the whole thing's open for the dirty one who puts things out, and you can't cross-contaminate. It's a highly intensive thing to know. Most folk can't manage it, and they don't know how to do it. And a lot of folk in the hospitals don't even know how to do it, folks. It's sad. Very sad, but true. Because one tiny little thing, so we're told, this, and you got the pictures almost emblazoned in your mind with psychic driving, just like 9/11 towers, boom, boom, boom. You see this awful thing that you expect to come out of a kind of cartoon or a Simpsons cartoon, and it's embedded in your brain. It's got pictures, you got the thing blown up, this big drawing of this thing, and everything you look at, which is quite amazing. It's like the AIDS one. When the AIDS came out, and they terrified the public then too. The people thought they could get AIDS just from folk having accidents and car accidents and the thing. The ambulance drivers wouldn't go near them. They were because it was a brand new thing too, and it was terrified. Oh, it could be airborne. It could be this. Blah blah. Same kind of thing. So again, psychic driving and so. And again, they did drawings for the peasantry back then. Really good drawings, big drawings, sometimes half a page of this tiny, tiny little thing they thought was the virus for HIV. And they even said it seemed to be part bacterium and part virus, like a virus. And, oh my God, oh my, oh, this brand new thing from outer space or something, you know. That's how it's put across to you. These are drawings. Artist renditions. Probably from horror comics, I imagine. And that's how they terrified the public back then. But literally, poor souls were getting accidents, and the ambulance drivers they were petrified. They said, oh my God, you know, because the same thing, oh, we're all going to die. And the World Health Organization was going overboard. Oh yeah, in about 5 years' time, 6 years, 10 years at the max, 95% of the folk will have this virus, etc., 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 etc. And here you go again, eh? There you go. But again, no one will dare say to the bio labs, you know, this is enough. The people aren't going to have this anymore. I stopped churning out these scientists that literally make a living getting paid to find pretended ways to, well, if this virus decides, it's what was intelligent or something, if this decides to mutate 10 different steps here into this or that, well, we might be ready for it by making it happen first. Meaning inventing it, huh? And since we all have a say on life on the planet, maybe we should start saying, that's enough, that's enough. And it's not just level 4 biolabs that do this, level 3 are doing them too. Some of these countries can actually do it in a kitchen, folks. Create things like that. There you go. Anyway, don't be panicking. Keep in touch with your buddies. Help each other out in these times, which are not good at all for us. And we'll get through it one way or another. We've no say in the matter for those who are cracking up. We're all in the same boat. When the power's been taken out of your hands for most things, you've got to keep your head and just do basic survival and getting along day to day. That's all you can do. because this was planned, I'm sure, a long time ago. If it wasn't this time, it would be released, something would be released down the road, etc. As you know, because the economy's been kaput for a while. They want us into austerity. They've been talking about forcing us into austerity for years so they control us all and less children in the West, etc. And as I say, the banks are just, you know, they're jokes. If they're backed by nothing and they keep telling us we're in debt all the time and they keep devaluing the price of your currency, so you need more and more of the same dollars or pounds to pay for whatever. It's not meant to go on forever that way. The control freaks could make it go on forever and even give you more bang for your buck, but no, we are controlled that minutely. Money rules everything. That's what old Rothschild said a long time ago. He didn't care who appointed people as leaders or kings or queens. As long as he had control over the money, he says, they all belong to me. They do what I tell them. Money controls. That's it. That's kind of paraphrasing, but that's what he said in his own memoirs. Money's the key to things. And you can force folk to do anything, even get rid of their own children, if need be, for economic reasons. That's part that's taught in sociology, even, of course, naturally. So keep cool and look after each other, because it's all we have, really, isn't it? And I'll get in touch next week again. Do your basic cautions and we'll come through it, okay? I'm Alan Watt from Interior Canada, and it's good night, and your God or your gods go with you.